U.S.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. Sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh!
Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm coming to you live this evening, Saturday, October 31st. I've got a cold, but it's not going to dampen my spirits. As I said at the top of last week's show, what a great, great time of year. And this growing up was always the most fun and festive of all the holidays. Certainly not more significant in any shape, form, or fashion than Christmas. But this was the one where you just really had a lot of fun as a kid. Now, of course, as I'm older, Christmas is much more meaningful, much more spiritual, and everything else. But I still have a good time with Halloween, getting into the spirit of fall. And, of course, you still have the big ones, Thanksgiving and Christmas, just a few weeks away. This is, without question, the happiest time of year in the Edwards household. October, November, December, great weather. I love the winter, and I'm happy to be here with you tonight. We're going to have another fun show. And speaking about the radio show's calendar, this is a very fun time of year for us as well. Of course, last week we had the big anniversary show. Tonight we're going to be playing a lot of fun Halloween music. And then going forward, it's just a great time in December with all the Christmas music, and we get into the spirit of that season. I love it, this time of year, and I'm happy to be able to share it with so many wonderful people. Speaking about that anniversary show last week, I don't think we could have done any better. Yeah, I looked back on that. Of course, it can't compare to the in-person show we did on the 10-year anniversary. But when you talk about putting in 11 years worth of memories into 3 hours of commercial radio, we couldn't have stretched another second. You heard from, of course, yours truly, Sonny Landham, Scoop Stanton, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, Sean Bergen, Art Frith via clip, Sam Bushman, and then at the very end of the show, we played the very last commentary that Bill Rowland ever delivered on the political cesspool before he was called home by the Lord. All of that in last week's show. You're probably thinking to yourself, though, well, there's one name that's glaringly missing from that order, and it's, frankly, one of the most important people in the history of this show, without a doubt, Keith Alexander. Well, Keith is here now, and as I promised you last week when he was having some trouble with cell phone reception, he was out of town in Mississippi. We're going to let Keith take this from the top for the next segment or two, however long he wants, and let the spotlight shine on him, as it certainly should. Very few people, I'd be hard-pressed to think of another, have given more hours to this broadcast, except for maybe me. Keith is here 95% of the time, and his commentaries are second to none. So, Keith, last week we were talking about, you know, with each individual, the role they've played on the show, their story, how they got here, reflections, favorite moments, favorite guests, behind the scenes, whatever they wanted to talk about. Remind the audience how you first came to know this show and later on came aboard as a full-time co-host.
Well, I had a law partner who was a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and he used to have a copy of the Citizen Informer there in the office at all times that he would circulate around to the lawyers in the office. And I remember reading it and hearing about this new radio program that was coming on in Memphis called the Political Cesspool. It was advertised. So I got the phone number, tuned in, got the radio, you know, the times and the station it was on, tuned in, listened to it. It was great. I called in. I'm not often moved to call into radio shows, but I was to that. I remember Bill Rowland and James were manning the board that night, And we were talking, and I don't recall exactly what it was, but I do remember Bill Rowland saying, we got to get this guy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we made arrangements to get together for lunch. I used to take him to one of my favorite places, which was the Bunton Restaurant, or the successor to the Bunton Restaurant, out in Bartlett. It had relocated to by then. It used to be on Sims and Southern in Memphis. And we hit it off, and that was just the start of something big. We just basically found out we were simpatico. Bill and I were kind of like the graybeards of the bunch, and James was the young protege that was, you know, still basically getting his mindset correctly.
And we're talking about back in, well, certainly after the show went on in October of 04, but
yeah, it was really...
Well, you're talking about, I guess, back in 05.
Yeah, yeah, very early in the run of the show. I'm not sure if it wasn't in 04, in the late in the year, or early 05. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was early. It was early.
And we started talking and getting together and whatnot, and it eventually led to my being invited to be a co-host on the show with James. I was glad to do that. I remember we used to do it every night. And, you know, that was a grind.
Yeah,
and
back then, you're right, Keith. I think that's something we failed to mention last week, was that in the early years before we got picked up by the network and nationally syndicated, work less, make more. We like that, but still reach more, and that's the ultimate goal. But we were in the early days when we were just a local show here in the Memphis market, five nights a week, Monday through Friday.
And we have all those shows archived, by the way.
That's right.
If somebody wants to go back and get them and listen to them, do it. I remember being told by a friend that there's a book about the magic of 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours apparently was the amount of time that the Beatles had put into refining their craft as musicians and as songwriters and as a band before they really hit it big. And the thesis of the book is that when you put 10,000 hours into anything, you're going to be about as good as you're going to get, and you should have the crafted product, and that's when it's time for it to be unveiled for the general public to see, and that's when your career will take off. Well, folks, we've gone back and counted the hours. We're at that point now. We really have put in the 10,000 hours. And hopefully it shows in the product that we deliver every week.
It seems like 10 million. it's been a righteous crusade. It has been one that it's been long, but it's been short, and it's been prosperous. I like to use the adjectives wonderfully turbulent to describe our career in radio. And we're not going to have anniversary week 2.0 here, but we couldn't move forward from last week's show without having Keith weigh in. And Keith's right, you know. It started with him calling in just as a listener, as a caller. And Bill and Roland and I would look at each other on the occasions when Keith would call in randomly to the show. And we just thought that obviously, as anyone who's ever listened to Keith on the broadcast can quite readily tell, that this guy's a genius. And he would make a fine attribute if he's willing to shoulder the cross. Luckily for us and for everyone else out there, for this program to be sure, he was, and he's been with us ever since. I'm going to talk with Keith just for a couple of more minutes about how it all started for him and ask him his favorite moments, favorite guests, things of that nature. And then we're going to move on for the first time in more than a week to topics of current interest, I guess you could say. Stay tuned, everybody.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Thank you. Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Everybody, welcome back. Happy Halloween. It's great to be with you and share a holiday with you. Thank you for tuning in. Maybe you're out passing candy to the kids and got the political cesspool on in your house. However you're tuning in to us this evening, we're happy to have you. Keith, what did you dress up as this year?
Oh, me.
Put him on the spot.
I guess I'm probably not going to do that, but I'm going to have a party. But it's not going to be a Halloween party. I guess I don't need to change and dress and whatnot. But nonetheless, I'm always in costume, I guess.
Well, you're always ready to do it.
And in the eyes of the Southern Poverty Law Center, that's scary enough, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. But you're not dressing up as Martin Luther King.
No, not doing that.
All right. Well, you know, we mentioned last week in that great anniversary show that Art Frith, we actually walked into the radio station on one Halloween night. I guess the only other time that Halloween fell on a date that we were live in the studio and broadcasting. And he was dressed up as one of the characters from, I guess, Star Trek. I can't keep Star Wars and Star Trek. But he was actually the only person who's come to work in costume before. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Keith, very quickly before we move on and move away from the anniversary show and get back down to brass tacks, favorite guests, favorite moments in all of these years that you have been in the saddle as a host, and we talked about how Keith came to know the show. Saw an advertisement for it in one of the Council of Conservative Citizens newspapers, began to tune in, started to become a regular caller and listener, and then we absorbed him, and the rest is history. All the shows you've been on, any that stand out?
Well, of course, there are the Alana Mercer interviews.
Ah, yeah, that was one that actually didn't get mentioned. And, it's, you know, Well, you can't cover it all. You can't cover 11 years and 3 hours, obviously, but we covered a lot. That was one that didn't get plugged last week.
Well, Atlanta Mercer is a so-called conservative blogger and journalist, a Jewish woman who originally was from South Africa, whose father was a rabbi. And she has written a lot of books about the sad state of affairs in South Africa right now. In fact, she wrote a book called Into the Cannibal's Pot, where she really went into gory detail about all of the bad things that are happening in South Africa since the passing of the apartheid regime and the advent of the anti-apartheid regime, that the black rule, in essence, of South Africa. And I was, I guess, indiscreet enough to point out that her father, who was a rabbi, was one of the leading lights of the anti-apartheid movement, who lobbied tirelessly to get rid of the old apartheid white-dominated government of South Africa. But when, you know, you've heard it said before, be careful what you wish for, your dream may come true. When their dream came true, South Africa became unlivable for people like them, and being Jewish, they had a get-out-of-free-jail card that no one else had. They could take the next flight to Tel Aviv, which is exactly what they did. They eventually went to Canada and then ultimately to the United States in the Pacific Northwest. And I asked her, basically, did she think that her father and her family had blood on their hands for all of these Afrikaners that have been slaughtered in their farms and all of the violence that has been done to the white population of South Africa, not to mention the fact that they've been totally disenfranchised and had their livelihoods taken from them. They're living in squatter villages and cardboard and plywood shacks now. And I asked her if she felt like she and other members of the Jewish community in South Africa had any complicity in that. And believe me, she went off the rails. It was really crazy. But that was good. That was the ultimate aha moment. Now, we've had some great guests that we thought were, you know, interviews I remember that I thought were great were with Paul Gottfried, with Paul Craig Roberts. We've had Pat Buchanan, of course. James handles those, but they were great interviews. We've had so many good interviews on this show, and I remember Drew Lackey, the policeman from Montgomery, who is featured in that iconic photograph where Rosa Parks is being fingerprinted at the police station. And he gave us the inside skinny on what was really happening there. Basically, it was a set-up job from the inside out. The policeman that actually arrested her was in on it. That wasn't Drew Lackey, by the way. But he said that the whole thing was a setup. They wanted to find the perfect plaintiff for their lawsuit, or perfect prosecution witness, and they want it set up so that it was a morality play. Of course, they have a name for this in the realm of judicial ethics. It's called barratry. That would be like if you staged an accident. Let's say that you had a friend who had a cab, taxi cab, and you slammed on the brakes in front of him. He ran into the back of you, and you claimed that you were hurt, and then brought a lawsuit. That's barratry. But then so is the Rosa Parks episode, likewise barratry, because the whole thing was staged, choreographed, and produced by the NAACP in Montgomery, and Rosa Parks was the head of the NAACP, and she came across so prim and proper, and that she was a perfect foil, unlike someone who had really had a beef earlier in the year with the Montgomery bus company. But she was a, I think, 16-year-old unwed mother who was loud and profane and had all sorts of shortcomings in her background. They didn't want her, but they wanted Rosa Parks to put the best face, to put their best foot forward. Of course, lawsuits aren't supposed to be concocted like that, and prosecutions aren't supposed to be concocted like that, but that's what happened. That was a great show. We've had so many great shows through the year that, quite frankly, I'm sure that if I sat here, I could give you 3 hours worth tonight, but you know, those are a few that stand out in my mind. And well, let me go back to one more thing we're talking about.
Sure.
We're talking about the 10,000 hours and how we now reach that pinnacle or plateau or whatever. And I would suggest this. I know most people that listen to this show now are listening on the internet. We do have a fair number of terrestrial stations, but we need more. I think we're at a moment in history with the Trump candidacy and with the you know, the overstepping of the bounds of propriety by the left, trying to get rid of all Confederate symbols, for example, things of that nature, using the Charleston church tragedy as an excuse for doing things like this, that this is the perfect time for our message to flower, because more and more people are coming to the inescapable conclusion that the left is not benign. They're intending to change the entire society that we live in, and it will be a much worse society for most of its members if they succeed. Consequently, we think that there are some selected markets we'd love to get in, and other markets, of course, any market would be great. And the way that radio works nowadays, if you put in $6,000 a year, that's $500 a month, you can buy your way onto radio shows. So if you want us on landline in your area, get some people together, raise $6,000, and I think it can be done. I think it needs to be done. I think the time is now. Thank you.
Growth is always part of the ambition and part of the agenda. We want to be better and bigger each and every year. And for 11 years, we have been ascended. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
That on this Halloween, we are the light in the darkness of this world, and it is a dark world out there, but I'm hopeful that good will prevail. I think that it will, and I think that we will have a role in that ultimate victory somewhere down the road, ladies and gentlemen, and so will you, because, of course, you are the ones who make our work possible. You know, Keith, moving on now to current issues, you know, we certainly had to get Keith to chime in on what everybody else was talking about last week. And as a matter of fact, it almost worked out as if God's hand was on the program last week, as it is every week, as we know, that you weren't able to call in. That was the only thing that didn't go according to plan last week, but we were so stretched for time. Had it worked out, I don't know what we could have left on the cutting room floor, because all of it was so valuable. And now you get to have a little extended play here at the top of this program. So I guess it was just meant to be. But one thing, Keith, that I'm very proud about was that, of course, as everyone knows and as everyone should have received by now, unless you live out of the country, those are still on the way to you, we were able to move several dozen Confederate flags last month, well over 100. And those flags are up and on display and on flagpoles, and that's a great thing because, as we've mentioned so many times, in addition to it meaning family and heritage, and it being a little more personal to those of us who descended from Confederate veterans, for people outside of the South that have no blood relationship to that cause, it is still something that it stirs the soul even for these great people, because it's ultimately the Confederate flag now is a symbol of resistance to tyranny and opposition to centralized government. And as we sent out all of these flags that are inevitably furling in the wind, one flag did, though, come down this week, Keith, and it was a flag at the campus of your alma mater, Ole Miss. Tell us what's going on in Ole Miss a couple of days ago that would be of interest to our audience.
Well, of course, the left is famous for using tragedies to their benefit. That's exactly what Rahm Emanuel meant when he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. The left used the crisis of the tragic shooting at the Charleston Mother Emanuel Church, I think it was back in June. They had an agenda item right in their hopper that they were ready to pull out at the appropriate moment. That shooting provided that appropriate moment, and they have used that shooting as an excuse to try to purge from the public square every vestige of memory of the Confederate cause in the Civil War, and in particular, the rebel flag, as it was called throughout most of my life, the stars and bars, as people call it often, you know, the red background with the blue St. Andrew's cross with the stars on it. That's the Heart of Darkness. Apparently that's the new Nazi flag in the eyes of the left. And they used this unfortunate occasion of the shooting in Charleston as the excuse to go after these Confederate flags and Confederate symbols generally. And what's happened at Ole Miss is a perfect example of why you should never, ever compromise away any part of your heritage or any part of your belief system in trying to reach peace with the left, because the left isn't interested in peace. They're not interested in compromise. They're not interested in a negotiated settlement. You won't buy peace for 30 minutes, maybe not even 30 seconds. Whatever you give, it's like negotiating with the late Ayatollah Khomeini. You know, you can give him half the loaf now, but that won't satisfy him. He'll be back in short order asking for the rest of the loaf. And that's how the left has been operating regarding Confederate symbols. And the experience at Ole Miss is a perfect example. Recently, they got the brainwashed younger generation of members in the student senate. Not the student body generally, but the student senate, which is populated with little ambitious wannabes who want a future in politics and are brimful of political correctness. They know that if they want a future in politics and they want to be prosperous, that political correctness is the way to go. The left is the new establishment, as Pat Buchanan said. The counterculture of the 60s is the establishment of today, and the establishment of the 50s and 60s is the distant culture of today. That's what we are here at the Political Cesspool, at the Council of Conservative Citizens, at all of these other true, authentic conservative groups that still populate the blogosphere out here in the internet. Well, they got the student senate in Ole Miss to vote to not fly the state flag of Mississippi, which has the rebel flag in the top left corner of the flag, because of that rebel flag part of the flag. And, of course, the left and the national news media is trumpeting this as a great step forward and a great victory for the left. And, of course, if somebody thought that that was going to finally get by peace for the University of Mississippi, for Ole Miss, they're sadly mistaken, because the NAACP announced earlier this week, that that's just the first step in a campaign to purge all Confederate symbols from the campus of Ole Miss. They want to take down the statue of the Confederate veteran that is there in the grand circle in the heart of the campus.
And that's, we remember, of course, that this university was founded by Confederate veterans, and during the war of the war against the South, all of the student body fought and died in service to their homeland. And so this is the respect that that rich cultural heritage gets. But I got another one for you, Keith. You're talking about there's no appeasement to the left, and we know that. And ultimately, this doesn't get me that upset, because I know the people of Mississippi love that flag just like I love it. Now, you know, and you're talking about a very few number of students that voted on this thing. And, of course, they're going to vote. You know, this is a college campus.
They wouldn't be in student politics, wouldn't be in the student senate, if they weren't ambitious little people that were willing to sell their soul for a mess of
politics. Probably not even from the South.
Or their inheritance.
Here's the thing. The media, you talked about there being no appeasement. The media was irate at Ole Miss over this decision. Now, you're probably wondering, well, why would the media be upset with Ole Miss for taking down the flag? Not the Confederate flag, the state flag, which, as Keith mentioned, in Mississippi incorporates the Confederate insignia. They were upset because they did it in the morning, and they didn't announce it to the media. They just took it down. They should have, you know, invited all the press and had this big pageant and talked about how evil the flag was, that they took it down wasn't good enough, that they took it because they didn't take it down and make a big deal out of taking it down. It wasn't that they capitulated. They didn't slit their throat while they capitulated. And these are just disgusting people
down there. They didn't crawl on their belly like a snake, which is what the national news media wanted.
Well, they should have left it flying, of course, but anyway.
Well, you see, this is what's happened. Let's look at the history of Confederate symbolism at Ole Miss. Back in the 80s, they decided that it – I remember in the 70s there was a Ole Miss annual that featured a picture on the cover of the stadium during a football game, which was just awash in Confederate flags waving. That's the way it used to be back when I attended the law school there at Ole Miss.
And it'll be that way again when it's all said and done.
But we'll be back with more after these words from our sponsors.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. I come Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed!
Well, he came down to Earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People
Eater,
don't
eat me. Well, there it is, for Steve Stanton, one of his all-time favorite songs. That's the part he really likes right there. And Purple People Eater by the great late Chef Woolley. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. James Edwards here, Keith Alexander, Scoop Stanton. We're going to get to Scoop in about 30 seconds. But one final word about this thing at Ole Miss. As Keith and I were talking about during the commercial break, you can run, but you can't hide. Appeasement never works. You're never going to be able to give them enough to make them stop coming for more. You just got to put a stop to them. You got to put a stop to them by acting like men and saying, you know what, you're not going to take our culture. You're not going to take our flag. And look, we love you, but no. The answer is no. Go home. Cry about it if you have to, but get over it. And Keith, you said that if there was a governor of Mississippi worth his weight in salt, there's a quick way to fix what's going on at Ole Miss. What is it in 30 seconds that we got to get the scoop?
Okay, he'd say you're part of this state, and the state supports you with its funds, its tax revenues to run your university. You either run the flag, fly the flag that you're beholden to for your sustenance, or we're going to cut off the money. As we've said before on this show, the only sound a liberal truly fears is the click of a closing purse. And that's the way to get their attention. And if they did that, I guarantee you there would be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth on the left. But that's the only way you can fight them effectively is cutting off their money.
Let's do it, and let's do it together. All right, Scoop Stanton, over to you, my friend.
All right, hello, James, Keith, and happy Halloween to the Cesspool family. Well,
thank you,
the
Keith.
War on cops still
you
continues
too.
On. We first want to remember investigator Steve Martin Sandberg of the Attican County, Minnesota Sheriff's Office, who was killed on October 18th when a prisoner he was guarding got his weapon and shot him. The suspect was tased deputy and died a short time later of unknown causes. We also want to remember and talk about Officer Randolph Holder of the New York Police Department. Holder was killed October 20th when he and his partner were pursuing a suspect with a gun that was being fired at the East River Housing Projects. The suspect, Tyrone Howard, 33 years of age, has been arrested 28 times since age 13. Yeah, keep voting Democrat. Democrat judges are the ones who let him out. The Democratic Party took the platform of Black Lives Matter. And Holder's partner, however, was able to return fire, striking Howard in the leg. Now, in the middle of all of this, President Obama defended Black Lives Matter and only said that the police had a tough job. What he didn't say was that his administration, with the help of the Attorney General, Mayor de Blasio, Al Sharpton, and the rest of the usual suspects, are making it harder for the police. Now, here's the mother of all chutzpah. Al Sharpton, who makes a living of ruining the fragile relationship between the police and minorities in times of crisis, not only paid respects to Officer Holder at his command, but will speak at his funeral at the request of Holder's father, who is also a former law enforcement officer. Al Sharpton is the same man who tried to burn down New York City when four white New York City police officers mistakenly shot and killed an unarmed illegal immigrant when he pulled out of his wallet, and the cops thought he was a rape suspect. And the cops told this man, Amadou Diallo, to put his hands up, but obviously, there's a language barrier, and he was shot because the officers feared for their safety. Now, during Holder's painstaking investigation, the cops went to the East River Housing Projects to question the people who was involved in the shooting. And the various doctors, attorneys, accountants, engineers, and businessmen of the East River Housing Projects refused to talk or, quote, snitch. The police returned in large numbers to the housing project and buses. The NYPD processed every outstanding warrant on every degenerate in the projects, from child support to fare evasion to failure to appear to traffic tickets to parking tickets. Those who did not answer the door because they did not want to be bothered by local authorities had the door broken into, courtesy of New York's finest. Finally, Randolph Holder was a black man. His life mattered. But Randolph Holder's life did not matter to Black Lives Matter. James, Keith, over to you.
You know, Scoop, I'm glad you brought this up again because, well, for a couple of reasons, and I'll get to that. But first, I want to say, you know, this is an interesting topic, and I was sharing with Scoop just a few days ago, the relationship between law enforcement and the citizens isn't as good as it should be. And I'm not talking certainly about the Black Lives Matter movement, but what the problem is, and most cops in the South, most beat cops, you know, they're good guys, but you're getting law enforcement trained now by the same government that, of course, hates our people and hates this country and seeks to dispossess us. And some of them have fallen into that. So, you know, are all cops just outstanding guys? No. You know, we want to be fair. We want to step back and be consistent and look at the whole picture.
Too. This is another thing. The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is actually providing a lot of the training materials for young policemen now. They're the ones that have decided that white Army veterans or military veterans coming from the Middle East are the primary danger to the United States as terrorists, not ISIS, not Muslims, not other groups like that, not the Black Panthers. And consequently, some of that is undoubtedly having its effect, but I haven't seen that. In fact, this Holder fella, I have the sense that he's black because his father came from Guyana, where he was a policeman.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And
correct,
he
Scoop.
Is the one who invited Al Sharpton. I understand that now Al Sharpton has been disinvited to speak. Maybe somebody was able to convince him of the folly of having Al Sharpton, who is basically responsible for ginning up this negative attitude towards police in the black community that goes by the names of Black Lives Matter. And either the church or the father has withdrawn the invitation now, I understand.
Well, and, you know, beat cops are one thing. But when you're talking about other branches of law enforcement, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, who harassed us and tried to keep me from promoting a legal rally here for Nathan Bedford Forrest, or tried to suppress that, you know, not our friends, but... All right, in this case with Black Lives Matter, and in most cases, to be fair, look, we're 100% behind the police. And so I wanted to show both sides of that because, you know, we're not just in the tank. We understand the issues here. But Scoop does a good thing in bringing this issue up as often as he does because when you see this degenerate president, you know, absolutely eviscerating the morale and the integrity of law enforcement, for the sake of a terrorist group, and that's really what Black Lives Matters is. You know, this is something that we've got to rally behind. You know, and Scoop's right, and Scoop talks to a lot of police officers. They understand what's going on out there. Bill O'Reilly's been covering this a lot too. You know, he's calling Black Lives Matter what it is, which is a legitimate hate group, and that the media and the government is on their side rather than the law enforcement who tries to maintain some semblance of order and civilization in these black communities is just despicable. It's abominable. We don't have very much time, but Scoop has a clip of Obama defending Black Lives Matter. We're going to play it and then give Scoop the final word on this because this is his pet issue.
We're
glad that he makes it part
of the organizers used the phrase Black Lives Matters was not because they said they were suggesting nobody else's lives matter. Rather, what they were suggesting was there is a specific problem that is happening in the African-American community that's not happening in other communities. And that is a legitimate issue that we've got to address. We as a society, particularly given our history, have to take this seriously. And one of the ways of avoiding the politics of this and losing the moment is everybody just stepping back for a second and understanding that you know, the African-American community is not just making this up. And they're
all right,
it's
Scoop,
not
so-
just something being politicized. It's real, and there's a history behind it, and we have to take it seriously. And it's incumbent then on the activists to also take seriously the tough job the police have.
Well, there you have it, Scoop. That's your president. A final word to you on this issue.
After all that, he said six words, the tough job that the police have. And so there you go, people. Keep voting Democrats. And there you go, SPLC, ADL, everybody on the left. Keep coming after us because this is example 1,000,000,002 on how we say equal rights for all, special privileges for none. We have been talking more about Officer Holder than MSNBC and Daily Kos and Huffington Post and Officer Correction, President Obama, who I doubt is sending anybody from the White House, but, you know, Freddie Gray or Mike Brown, you know, they'll send the whole cabinet to his funeral. So it's just sick and getting sicker, and I'm frankly getting disgusted. But
and because of this, you know, they have enabled and legitimized this terrorist group, Black Lives Matter. O'Reilly was talking about this, and I'm telling you, Bill O'Reilly, you know, there's a lot to be desired there, but I tell you, when he talks about this, it's as if it's a word-for-word assessment that we would deliver on this program, and he mentions that as a result of the administration's support of Black Lives Matter, violent crimes are up 20% over the course of the last year, and of course, we can't even keep up with all the police shootings now, black on cop shootings. It's only going to get worse, folks, until our people stand up and do something about it. Thank you, Scoop, so much. We'll be back with the second hour right after this.
More to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.